If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the supreme love that we are each embodiments of. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Apocalypse or Golden Age is your choice. So, get ready. Let's take a deep breath together. And just come present and relax. Let the day just be set aside. All the thoughts up until this moment, just table them for now. They'll be there when you come back. Just take a time out from the world and all your worries and cares and all of that. And let's just breathe in God and breathe out love. Let's do that several times, shall we? Breathe in God. Breathe out love. Breathe in God. Breathe out love. Breathe in God. Breathe out love. And now quietly, just acknowledge that God is the breath within you. God is your life force. God is what animates your senses, your life force, everything about you is due to the divine power that we, for lack of a better term, call God or Divine Spirit. The one lesson we all need to learn, according to Sai Baba, is that through human effort, nothing is achieved. Through human effort alone. And he's taking us up to the highest point of view here. For example, who breathes us? Who beats the heart? Who decides when we enter this life and when we leave this physical embodiment? Who digests our food? Who keeps us alive when we're sleeping or unconscious? What is it that we could possibly do without the divine activating spirit within us? Nothing, right? And so one of the biggest manifestations of ego is the assumption that we're the doer and we're the enjoyer of our doings. And so one of the big lessons we learn is that we're not in control. We're not in control of anything. But there is that within us which is. And it's in attuning to that that we begin to operate according to our true function and purpose here. So our topic this evening is one I have brought up many, many times, obliquely perhaps, but we're going to address it very directly tonight. And that is the world that we are living in right now, our worldview, our mindset, how we see and interpret the life around us. And I found it very, very clear. And yet it brings it so much home into our own lap that I hope that we can take it in very seriously. So I'm going to segue by saying that I'm sure you light workers have noticed that the questions people ask as to when this or that event is to occur implies the belief that there is only one world and one reality, and possibly one answer, which is simply not the case. There are an infinite number of worlds, realities, possibilities, all coexisting at this very moment. Each person determines the reality they experience by their focus of attention. Your attention, what you give your attention to, becomes your world. So your focus of consciousness and energy activates the reality you live in. Now, consciousness and energy are that divine enabling power. The one factor that we have in this, which is unique to the human being operating out of the mind, is what appears to be choice in where we place our attention. You know, it's so simple. Energy follows thought, and thought manifests as form. Simple, simple, simple. Your sustained focus of attention manifests as your realm of existence, your world, and reality. So all worlds, realities, probabilities, outcomes came instantly into being at the same moment. I was having my God chat day or two ago, and I was looking at, well, you know, science says that everything began with a Big Bang, but they have no answer as to where the Big Bang came from. So I was pondering and contemplating with Baba the myriad worlds and involution and evolution and all of that, which is a factor in the illusion of time. Before the advent of the mind or manas, we didn't have the factor of time, which is part of the human brain. Apart from the brain, there's no time. And so, in reality, there is no such thing as involution and evolution, because these would be like episodes within the illusion of time, space, and becoming. No, Advaitically speaking from the position of non-duality and divine absolute, there is no such thing. Like Baba says, the whole of the world, everything in the world, is simply a projection from the mind. Everything. So mind itself is the projector that causes the phenomenal world to appear outwardly, much like a movie projector projects upon a blank screen a film which leaves no effect on the screen whatsoever. So anyway, Sai Baba showed me how everything came into existence with one divine word, Om. In Sanskrit, that's called Adi Pranava, primal word. The Gospel of John describes this primal word, which became manifest as all that exists and became incarnate within you and me as that which we call the soul or the Christ within or the Son of God. Now that's you and me and everyone. So what makes the man unique is that factor which we call manas, or the mind. The reason why we use the term man doesn't mean a gender. It's a shortened version of the Sanskrit word manusha, because man has manas, mind, which gives us a sense of individual personhood, which in the course of enlightenment you gradually jettison, because it's a, let's say, a bridging consciousness from the animal kingdom through the human and into the divine. So it has a function in the returning of awareness from the deepest immersion in matter, which would be physicality, to its return to spirit. So it's the dance of the Maya between light into manifestation, manifestation into light. And that's like a dance. It's the dance of Shiva. It's the dance of phenomenal existence. So anyway, I was contemplating the many worlds that people live in. The many worlds that you see portrayed in the different YouTubes and the various programs. And, you know, you can tell the difference between people who are living purely based on the hearsay of others, things they see on television, they hear, things that people talk about. But they don't have an originality. They don't have a sense of personal investiture or personal involvement. It's like it's taken secondhand. It's like, well, so-and-so said, or this YouTube said, or I read this book and it said, and I want to ask people, yes, but what have you realized? What thoughts have you pursued and investigated to their very source? Why do you take the hearsay of others instead of inquiring and having your direct experience? And that's the difference between a person who's actively seeking self-realization and people who are part of the mass consciousness, which by and large is sound asleep. And though people walk upright and seem to be awake and seem to be aware, there's nobody home, there's no lights, and they're basically sound asleep. In fact, spiritually speaking, they're dead. Because only when you realize who and what you truly are living true to that, could you be said to be spiritually alive. Other than that, you're in a state of dormancy. So I came upon this article by Sai Baba that absolutely pinpoints how we create the reality that we live in and what to do about it. So I'm going to read it to you. These are not my words. These are the words of Sai Baba. If you don't like that term, then put God or the Holy Spirit or Jesus or the name of any master. Because I promise you, they're going to say the same thing. So, this is what he had to say. There are many worlds that exist simultaneously. Consciousness is like the needle on the radio dial. All of the frequencies are always being broadcast. But consciousness chooses which ones to select. The one that is selected is the one that becomes real for you. So if you are watching the news and studying world events according to economic conditions, disasters, wars, political calamities, this is the world for you. This is the radio station that your consciousness is engaged in. But that isn't to say that there are not many other possibilities, all equally valid and true and real and alive and available. So the more you engage your consciousness in that which is holy, beautiful, uplifting, the golden age, the more you are able to reside in the golden age. It is present and available and here, now. As Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within, meaning that all these possibilities exist within you at all times. Your consciousness determines which one you make a living reality at any given moment. So be aware of what radio station you are tuning into, of what you have dialed into your consciousness. If it's not to your liking, choose a different station. The station I am broadcasting on is available to all who tune in to me. It is not selective. You are the ones who select what you are tuning into. It is not me selectively broadcasting. Like the sun, I broadcast to all. But only those standing outside will receive its rays. If you are hiding in a closet or under a shady cliff, you will not receive the sun. It does not mean that the sun is not there and is not available. It is for you to go where the availability is. It is for you to tune your mind and your awareness, your consciousness, and to direct that to the place where I am. This is the best advice I can give to my devotees for the times that are coming ahead. For there will be many broadcasts that will be vying for your attention. The addictive nature of Maya and the movie that is projected into the world as reality means that there needs to be a conscious, deliberate effort to disengage from that and attach your attention and awareness to that which is aligned with your highest values, with your own true self. So both the Golden Age and the Apocalypse can be occurring simultaneously, but you choose which one you will participate with at any given moment. My love is with you in all cases, in all places, under all circumstances. Baba. So, wow, there you have it. Now we, as you know, are in a time which, if you're not strongly rooted in self-awareness, in devotion to God, in a state of self-realization, or you're not aligned with people who live and operate from that state, who can mentor and walk alongside you, you're going to quote Baba from a talk he gave back in the 80s, you're going to be swept away into a sea of chaos. You can see the chaos now. I don't think there has ever been a time on the planet where the chaos and the chaotic events are occurring so rapidly that one doesn't have time to think before the next one is upon you. And for many people, it's a matter of sheer survival from moment to moment. They don't have time now that many of us have had the last 20 years in particular to, or at least they haven't chosen to, pay attention to the things that really matter in life. Now we're seeing how unpredictable. One day you can have a nice sunny day and your home and your family intact. And the next day, seemingly out of the blue, there is a ginormous storm. And suddenly it's all swept away. Everything you've worked for. And sometimes your loved ones as well. It comes so suddenly. Because we're in the time of the great change. We're in the time of the entering into a new stage of human consciousness, of the type of humanity that we will be in the next decade or less. We are literally being shifted from one major frequency and state of being into a new one. But where we exactly land in that equation has very much to do with what we believe, what we expect, and what we're choosing to embrace of as our reality. Many, many people are operating out of an apocalyptic doomsday reality. And that's what they're experiencing. Do you realize there are whole areas in the world that are not being touched by these earth changes, where the people in those areas don't have any idea of what we're talking about when we talk about the apocalypse? They're living in a totally different reality. I've lived in those places amongst those people. They have no knowledge of our political what could we call it, debacle? Political controversies. They have no awareness of the belief systems that we have that point to a extinction event or a apocalyptic doomsday or to a roboticized human being that's part robot, part machine, and part human. They would have no concept what you're talking about. These people, many of them, have become self-realized a long time ago. And they're living in reality. Many of them are welcoming the Satya Yuga, the age of truth, the age of divine love. And they're living in that. There are many in the Western world who are living in that state right now. They don't watch the television. Or if they do, they're very selective in choosing things that are gentle and kind and loving. They're not watching these violent criminal shows where people abuse and hurt one another. And they don't have friends that are interested in that either. So an awful lot of what we experience and what we join forces with has to do with the company we keep. You know the old story, show me your company, and I'll tell you who you are. Because we take on the habits of the people we spend the most time with. And that's why satsang, company of God-realized people, is so important. It's difficult to find. And so if you can't find it, then it's more important to be keeping your own company and have satsang through videos or online, but not to waste your time with people who are not headed your way, that are not part of the golden age. I'm assuming that most people who find what I have to say interesting are people who really are interested in God realization and participating in the golden age. Because most people are interested in phenomena, psychic phenomena, gaining psychic powers, fortune telling the future, trying to manipulate the outcome of the future, trying to make more money, trying to find their soulmate or a mate, or any number of worldly involvements that are going to perish with the body, that have added nothing to their chalice of being. So discern well. This is a time when many people, as I mentioned in the last seminar, are parting company with the people who can't grow and progress with them into the next level. You'll know who they are because they find the world more interesting than awakening to reality. They're finding, watching the things happening on the television far more interesting to spend their time with than sitting quietly and exploring the inner realms of their being and contemplating the different things in their life and probing and going deeper and deeper. You see, the one thing that never ends, that you can never come to the end of, is God. You're never going to come to the end of God, of divine consciousness, of divine awareness. Just about the time you break through to one level, there's another one that opens, and another, it's ever expanding. There's no end to the expansion of awareness, to the ever new, that just about the time you think you've got it, there's another revelation that's even deeper. It's been said that there are between 7 and 30 different interpretations for every single line of scripture. So depending on where your consciousness is focused, you're going to see something deeper and different. So even people reading the same scripture, be it the Bible or the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or whatever, there's going to be a deeper, deeper, deeper understanding the deeper you go. And ultimately, all form dissolves in light. And light dissolves in that primal word. And there we have to be silent, don't we? Because that which uttered the word is beyond anything we can grasp. And there one is silent. So today people are very easily snagged into the dark world of chaos, because it seems they have more fascination with digging the dirt, uncovering slander, criticizing, blaming, finding fault, participating in the controversies and the conspiracies, and which is all just wasting so much time. The nature of the false self is always to try to find the evil doer without. It's always trying to find someone who's perpetrating outside events. But if you go back to the original statement of Sai Baba, that the entire world and all of its contents reside in the mind alone, that there is no outer world, what you see is the station that you're dialed into. It's where you've placed your focus and your attention. But we're very interested in what people are doing, aren't we? We're interested in what they wear, what they eat, what they do with their bodies and with whom, and all of that. It's called pop culture. But you see, there's no culture in pop. Popularity is that broad road that the Bible speaks of that leads to perdition. The narrow road that few take, the road less traveled, is the road that leads directly to living as a divine incarnation you are meant to be. It's living true to yourself. It's charting your own course by direct attunement to the divine presence within you. That presence is silent, but it's so secure, so centered, so solid. So secure that can move through anything going on in the world and not lose its compass. It's always dialed in to God. One of the simple ways we can do that, because very few today have time or even the ability to focus. I mean, if you have this, you're greatly blessed. But if you have time to deeply inquire and focus and center yourself to where you can live in mindful awareness all the time, the next best thing is to realize that of yourself you do nothing, that you are totally dependent on God. So that you don't look to the outer world or your job or your family or your spouse or anything outside of yourself for your care and provision. Because at any moment that could be completely swept away. Faster than you can imagine, it could be gone. But if you have that solid, unshakable trust and faith that God is in control, that God is in you, and with you, and above you, and below you, and to your right, and to your left, and dwelling within you as the very power of life itself. If you can get that solidly in you, then you know that no matter what happens, God is present. And God will make a way where there doesn't seem to be humanly any way, because within that great word, every possible reality was exercised. That's why nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. All things are possible. All miraculous miracles. Sai Baba said that in the times ahead, if need be, food itself will manifest in the place of your prayer. Wherever you sit to pray or meditate or do your spiritual exercises or do your puja, your food will manifest for you. Some years back, he sent away a group of young men, I think there were some 40 of them, to a cave and gave them what is called an akshaya patra, which is a pot that manifests an unending supply of food. Anything you want will manifest in that pot. Sounds like a fable, doesn't it? But it's absolute reality. There's a little booklet about the ashram. It's called the Gufa. Gufa means cave. Gufa Ashram. You can order it probably at the Sai Baba Book Center. But anyway, these young men had only that akshaya patra, that non-ending, ever-flowing, ever-full pot. And so morning, noon, and night, the food would manifest according to what South Indians eat, because they were all South Indian boys. And so they would have the idli and the sambar in the morning, and they would have the tiffin, you know, the chai and the whatever they have for, you know, the savories that they have for snacks. And they would have the lunch, you know, the rice and the sambar and the you know, the various things that people eat in South India. And they would have the buttermilk, and then at night they would have the, again, rice, small rice meal, which is characteristic in India. And after a while they got tired of that. Can you imagine? They got bored with, you know, same old, same old. So they ask Sai Baba for sweetmeats and fruits and things of that nature. So then the Akshayapatra would produce for them fruits and sweetmeats and different things. But the point I'm making is that those boys were sent out to a cave somewhere in South India or the Himalayas, I'm not sure where. And they had only this power and provision of God to depend upon. I mean, just imagine if you were sent out to live in a cave, right? And they've been there like decades. What would you do? But we may be put in that very position with the earth changes coming on the planet right now. We may very well be in that position. So if you're looking to your job or your paycheck or your whatever to provide for you, what are you going to do when it all goes down? If it does. I'm not saying it will. But what would you do if it did? See, all the grids went down. Well, that shoots everything out of the water, right? Everything. Without electricity, we can't even flush the toilet or get a tap full of water. So you can see where all of this could possibly end up. And if you don't, if you're relying on anything but God and God's provision, well, God help you. God help you. So what Sai Baba is saying and what he has shared with us is that we're dialed into a reality, and the reality that most people are dialed into, very obviously, is apocalyptic. Now, that doesn't have to be. That doesn't have to be that way. But if you are entrained in what's happening on the television and in the news and all of that, if that's what you fill your mind with 24/7, first thing in the morning you watch the news, the last thing at night you watch the news, where do you think you're going to go? Your whole attention has not been on God at all. It's not been cultivating that secure place, that solid rock, that stability and security that can only be found within, in absolute codependency of God, on God. We're designed to be codependent until we realize we are God, which is about as rare as chicken teeth. So let's just be very practical. Most of us are very far from that state. Most of us believe the world is real. We believe we're a body. And we believe that when the body dies, we don't know where we're going. That's where most people are parked in their consciousness, lightworkers included. Lightworkers included. Because lightworkers believe they're lightworkers. They believe they're doing something. You know what? Nobody's doing anything. Most doing is creating chaos, confusion. If it's not aligned with the Atma, if it's not aligned with who you are as a divine being, then all of your actions are a waste. They amount to nothing. They're dust. So not that that should discourage you. It should rather encourage you to prioritize God-directed action. Actions that are offered as worship to God. Work is worship. Duty is God. When it is devoted to God's pleasure, God's enjoyment. That's a very foreign concept for us here in the West. But in the East, people, very many people, do things only to please God. What if you lived your life just to please God, to where you would ask yourself, is this thing that I'm going to do going to please God? Will it give God pleasure? You know, even when you're having sex in the East, you do it to give God pleasure, to worship the goddess, to pleasure Krishna, I mean, everything is related to God in certain cultures in the East, in India primarily. It's so inspiring to live in a country. I mean, and you know, the West has invaded everywhere, spoiled things, but out in the country, in the villages, people live such pure, simple, God-focused lives that have hardly changed in the last, what, 200 years? Simple lives. No wonder so many saints and avatars are born there. We ask Baba, why are the avatars always born in India? And he said, they go where they are valued. They go where there's devotion. They go where people want to participate in that. Their very devotion causes God to assume a human form as an avatar. That the avatar is literally the embodiment of the devotion of people. So where else do they come? They go to India, of course. Do you realize that the Vedic culture, the Indian culture, is the only one on the planet that has not been destroyed? The only one. We can't include the Jewish one, although that's also a very old tradition, because the Vedas antedate all civilization and all human authorship. The Vedas alone came to the earth as divine mantra, had no human author. The Vedas alone. And so it's the oldest culture and the only one, even though spoiled by this rampant commercialism, dreadful commercialism, commercialism, which the Lord Maitreya says is more dangerous than an atom bomb. Terrific scourge of commercialism. Even though that has invaded even sacred India and caught so many young men and women up in the competitive rat race of commercial life, you will find pockets and pockets and pockets everywhere throughout India that's still unspoiled. And wherever Sai Baba's influence has gone, you will find young men and women that are in active self-realization, that are spending their lives in service, that are living in the golden age now. They're like a new breed. I'll tell you, the young men and women that have come out of Sai Baba's educational institutions, wow, they're a new race. They're a new race. They're living in the golden age. Exemplary, perfected lives. Pure lives, focused lives. And they're working in all fields. But they're working as Jivan Muktas, as people who are steady in their God focus. So it doesn't matter if you're working in a bank or wherever you're working, it does not matter. It's who you're working for, what your energy is directed into. And that is what makes it holy, when everything is done for the sake of God, for the pleasure of God, for the enjoyment of God. Everything is consecrated to God. What if we lived like that? How could that be? How could that be so starkly different? And yet, you know what Sai Baba said? He said his greatest devotees are in the West. Many of the people who were Indian in their last lifetime are incarnated now in the West. And I think, really, quite to be frank, that there's an awful lot of Englishmen that are incarnated now in India as Indians, because they're more Western than we are, many of us that go to India. We're the ones interested in yoga and meditation and japa and and pujas and, you know, Indian culture. And most of them are interested in cell phones and fancy cars and, you know, trying to get a job and a marriage partner. You know, everything changes, switches. So I, you know, when I do these weekly seminars, I really believe that I'm talking to a lot of ancient rishis and sages and, well, I call you closet Christs. Many of you carry that Christed awareness, that Christed consciousness. And it's time to get out of the closet. It's time to just live an inside-out life. Turn yourself inside out and live. Let what's on the inside show on the outside in your behavior and the way you deport yourself. In the uncommon glow and happiness that we have when we live God-centered lives. Oh my gosh, who cares what happens in a stupid world? I mean, you just don't pay any attention to it. You're just like so immersed in the reality that you lose the appetite for all the controversy and everything. Say, Baba said it's so very important that we achieve purity in thought, word, and deed. That these things match. That what we say matches the thoughts we have. What we say and what we think must be matched in how we act in the world. So, truly, to be living a divinely human life, we actually need to have that consistency and congruency in what we think and what we do and what we speak about. You know, you don't speak one way to one group of people and then become a different person when you're in the meditation room. It has to be a consistency. So what's within is without. And what's without matches that which is within. Now, Sai Baba said to achieve this purity in thought, word, and deed, we have to practice the following five injunctions as the very breath of our life. And I'm quoting from Sai Baba's book, The Teachings of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. I quote Sai Baba, "Think no evil. Think what is good. See no evil. See what is good. Hear no evil. Hear what is good. Talk no evil. Talk what is good. Do no evil. Do what is good." Now, if we practice those five injunctions as the very breath of our life, we will be able to overcome all of the defects that are resident in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And we will be able to experience ineffable bliss. I mean, I try to practice this all the time. It's incredibly difficult when you're living with people. Because people like to watch crime movies, for example, on television. Or I don't know why, but they enjoy watching people murder and speak ugly and fight and quarrel and carry on. I find it so offensive I can't even be in a room where such a program is on the television. It's so offensive to me. But people, they don't think anything of it. They watch the most grisly things on these televisions. And so you take on those qualities because you become insensitive to civility and kindliness and goodness. You lose the taste for it. You pollute your mind. You pollute your thoughts. And people love to criticize and dish the dirt about other people, which Baba says is the worst sin, is to criticize and find fault with another. That whenever we do that, we increase that very quality in ourselves, that we criticize another for. And it's so hard not to do that. It's so hard not to do that because we have that curiosity. That curiosity of, well, who's doing, you know, what are they doing? What's happened with so-and-so? Did you hear what so-and-so did? What so-and-so said? You know, we all get entrained into that, don't we? So easy. Talk no evil. Talk what is good. Who talks about good things today? Most people are criticizing the president. Or the opposite party, whatever. But they're entering into controversy and argumentation and really wasting breath because everything happens as it must, according to Baba. Everyone is put into a position of divine leadership by God alone, for God's reasons alone. And sometimes it's to shake the living daylights out of you so you wake up. So not everything is in your life to bring status quo palliatives of goodness over your life, but to shake you loose from all the nonsense, all of the places where we're sound asleep and complacent, and we're doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, historically with no shift. So you see, to enter into the golden age, there's going to have to be a massive shake-up and disruption. Something that will so grab our attention that we won't be able to think of anything else. And then you can cling to the statement in the Bible, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And maybe that's going to be the last cry that comes out of many throats is, "God, help." And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? From whatever. Whatever. But at least from descending into the pits of some of the hell worlds, if that's where you've lived all your life, if you call upon the name of the Lord, even then, the Lord will rescue you. There's been so many stories of that. Are there really hell worlds? They're states of consciousness. You tell me a person isn't living in hell, that's suffering from some horrible addictive pattern to drugs, or alcohol, or some other debased, not that those are debased states, those are actually addictive states, but there are debased states too that people live in where they're actually living like demons, torturing and hurting other people, and delighting in it. And they have created that world that matches their state of consciousness. So yes, for every state of consciousness, there is a world that matches. And you go to the world where your major focus of consciousness is parked. Just that simple. So when you live a sweet life and try to bring sweetness into every conversation, try to bring kindness into every interaction, allow the absolute natural innate goodness, which is the godness within you, to be the go-between in all of your interactions in life. And ask, really ask, the Lord to help you in the areas where you feel weak. And I think, you know, when we're identified with being a human being, that's every area. And I found that every time I ask for help to fortify some quality that I feel is not quite as strong and as consistent as I would like it to be, immediately I'm guided. I'll be guided to pick up one of Sai Baba's books. I will open it at random, and there's my answer. There's my key. There's what I have to do. There's where I'm falling short. And so pick up one of Sai Baba's books. If you haven't read any of them, you might want to. Because you'll find everything that you need that addresses anything in your life that you would ever have a question about. And there it is. In fact, the one I quoted from this evening, The Teachings of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, Questions and Answers on Summer from Summer Showers in Vrindavan, 1990. I highly recommend it. Little book. Has everything you'd ever need to know about anything that's worth knowing. But just as an example, that the world you inhabit is not necessarily the one you have to be in or consider real. There are infinite worlds, infinite possibilities, infinite probabilities, and you choose which one. And by your choice and your participation and attention, that is your world. So if it isn't to your liking, follow Baba's suggestions and attune to another station. Why not dial in the divine? And pray for good company. Keeping company with some of the things we watch on television and reading some of the nonsense that's printed as books, novels, and so forth, Sai Baba said it's like keeping bad company. It pollutes and spoils the mind. So be careful where you put your attention. Discriminate. Will this lead me closer to truth, to reality, to God? Is this making me more loving and kind? Some spiritual books don't make you more loving and kind. They make you more judgmental. I've noticed that in the several different books I would read. I stopped reading them because I didn't like the person I was after I read the book. That will never happen to you if you read The Course in Miracles. That will keep you sweet. So choose carefully. Choose carefully. Books are companions. Books are major influences of our mind, and so are those YouTubes. You know, you can watch really good YouTubes, too. But so much of it is nonsense, and fear-promoting, and fear-mongering. And so much of the preaching is so judgmental and so critical, and it makes you close your heart. Doesn't make you more loving. It makes you more judgmental. So you might want to dial to a different station and watch how your behavior is after you have read or watched or participated in different things. And choose the best for yourself. The golden age is a choice you can make right now. Many are living in it right now. Come and join us. Come and join us. And let's be happy and laugh and dance and help each other to co-create a really beautiful age filled with love and joy and creative expression. Because that's the golden age. It's an age of unity and harmonious sharing of life as one family, as one loving family with God. So I hope this has given a little bit of a deeper understanding that we create the world we live in, and we can always choose a different approach. And that begins with directing our attention where we really want to be and live. And if that means changing everything in your life and going completely alone into a different place with different friends, then so be it. But make sure you're headed Godward, because that's the only direction worth traveling in. So let's raise our hands and send blessings and love to all the beings and all the worlds. May they all be happy. To all the beings throughout the world today who are definitely going through chaos and change and suffering, we send blessings that they too may awaken and be happy. Because happiness is proof of the presence of God. And happy people are the only ones that are free to love, really love. So let's go out chanting Anahi as we bless with our intention all people in all nations and all situations for the very highest outcome and good. Deep breath. Anahi. Blessings and grace. Namaste.